gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
On today's episode 193 of the show, we have Green Bay Packer Dom Daphne. Dom graduated from West Des Moines Valley in 2015, and 6 short years later found himself in the end zone with a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. But the journey there, one that saw a few years as a Hawkeye, was everything but easy. We hope you enjoy listening to Dom tell his story. Let's sit back, relax, and have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Western Walk-Ons fans, episode 193 of the podcast. And today we're back with another former teammate. And as I've been thinking about it more, I do believe the single most tremendous and unlikely sports story, personal story, that I've ever heard. A guy that was always a great teammate, hard worker, alien mutant athlete, and now, touchdown catcher from possibly the most talented quarterback to ever live, Dom Daphne. Welcome to the pod, bud.
Appreciate you having me.
What do you think about that, Dom? Let's talk about A-Rod first. I mean, we're going to get to you. How, what is it like to be in a huddle with that guy? Is he the best ever? Is he the most talented quarterback ever?
I personally think so. Obviously, seeing it up close, it was just – there's days at practice where you're just like, bro, that is Aaron Rodgers. All sidearms, you know, no looks, just making it look easy, just 50-yard bombs, and it looked like he's throwing a slant route. It just looks effortless. So it's just like some days you're just like, man, this dude is just different. Just what he could do with his body, just body control, just the arm, just – it's crazy, honestly.
There's something about his confidence too, right? Like the way he, at least on TV, it looks like everything is slower for him. Like he's just out there playing, and he knows where. I mean, the way he feels the pocket, and I mean, like you said, it's just weird. He plays different.
It's like his football IQ is probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Like when I was about to ask you about that, how his control of the game and what it was like to watch him manipulate the game from a player's perspective.
Like, honestly, crazy. Just, like, knows everything that's going on. Sometimes he's the head coach where he's just like,
yeah.
Or, like, just calm down, you know, relax, breathe. We're going to be okay. I promise you.
When he makes a call on the field, everyone else is just like, oh, okay, Aaron has made a decision. He knows what's up. We'll just follow him, right?
There are times, yeah, where, especially when it comes to, like, 2 minute.
Yeah.
No, the headphone is off. It's off.
That's incredible.
And whatever you say in his little helmet, he's not listening. He knows what he wants. He knows what he likes. He knows kind of, you know, what works in the scheme of the offense. So he's like, You know, just let me go. And they kind of have an Aaron package when it comes to 2 minute, and it's about three books deep because there's a lot. And he'll literally remember something that worked like 11 years ago against Detroit when we played him at home, and it was just like, it's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So there's just like, it's honestly like a crazy thing to sit and listen to during meetings where he's just honestly coaching up everybody, like, hey, if you do this, when you come, stay in between this hash and this hash, the guy is going to come down, I'm going to lick him off, and it literally happens the same way. I'm just like, we watch the film on Monday, and we're just like, bro, he's scary.
It's like surgery, dude. He's a surgeon.
Yeah. That's kind of the best way to explain.
Is it crazy, or is his talent and ability crazy, or is the fact that you found yourself this past season after the journey that we're gonna talk through, was it crazier that you found yourself to be a part of that story and a part of that, you know, that situation?
I'd say there's an equal balance because, yeah, like I was saying, like literally I think it was week one that I was there. We're just at practice and he's just throwing, and like I just looked at him and I'm just like that's Aaron Rodgers. I'm here, Green Bay. I'm in the gym, my helmet, and I'm just like, with everything that happened in the first, what, 9 months, 8 months of 2020, there was no way. If you would have told me in June, July, that I would have been there at that time, I'd have been like, you're lying. You're full of shit.
Fucking right. Crazy. Let's run it way back. I did a little research. Dom Daphne was born in North Carolina.
Very true.
How did we get to Iowa?
Well, my mom's whole, like, honestly, like, whole side of my mom's family lives here.
Okay.
Like, they all live in the Des Moines area, so moved out there for a job. I was born, and then I think the job relocated her back or something like that. But
okay. I was thinking about this, and I remember I actually have a connection to you, which is funny. That goes all the way back to, like, probably 2004, 2005. Your brother, your older brother, mm-hmm. was played basketball,
mm-hmm.
and he played with Pete Jock, right? A little bit, or he would have been playing around. They would have been playing each other around the same time, right?
Every weekend. Yeah.
And the first time, and I'm sure you were probably there at the tournaments, running around with, you know, watching your brother play. The Marshalltown Bobcats AAU basketball team was playing your brother, like, every few weekends at the AAU tournaments around Des Moines. And he was good. And, bro, I fucking remember that. And I remember my dad was the coach, and, like, we would have to game plan for Daphne and Pete Jock and Trayvon Young, who went to Louisville, and back when he was playing basketball with, like, the Riders and shit. And so that – like, it goes all the way back. And so then when you ended up coming to Iowa in 17, I was like, holy shit. I used to play this guy's brother in basketball, like, 10 years ago. It was a crazy full circle moment.
Because I'd be like, who is this short dude with big ass calves? Turns out it is you. And I was like, I remember seeing you like all the time. And then like, I think he was a freshman and you guys came to Valley Southwoods and played him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh my God, that is literally the dude that I see all the time. Short, big ass calves.
I was never tall.
It's okay. You know, we all can't be gifted. I'm only 6'1", so it's all right. But I just remember you, I was just like, literally, because obviously, like, we all play AAU, or a lot of us play AAU.
Yep.
So we saw each other, like you said, literally, like, every weekend.
Yeah.
We're going to the same tournaments, whether it's here, whether it's Milwaukee,
yep.
Minnesota. We're literally just, like, honestly traveling with each other.
Yeah.
On the highway as we're going to the same tournament. It's just like we're there with each other every weekend. So saw you at Valley South, and I was like, I'm like, man, that's scary. And then, yeah, we pulled up.
Yeah.
And I see you at the facility. I'm like, Why did I see this guy everywhere? Like, what is going on?
It was weird. I looked the same too. I was still the short, fat kid with nice calves. That's about my only good feature. Crazy shit. So you were into basketball and coming up, like through your, you know, you playing for Valley High School. What was the dream? What was Dom Daphne's future in your eyes when you were 15, 16 years old?
Well, up till about junior year, I wanted to play basketball in college. And I was, like, going to basketball camps, like, at colleges and whatnot. And obviously AAU, the whole AAU circuit, I was obviously doing all that over the summer. So, like, up till about junior year, my whole thing was, like, wanting to play college basketball. Obviously, like, my brother was going to, and my dad did, so I kind of wanted to follow in the family footsteps, whatnot. But I don't know. It was something about the Friday Night Lights, which kind of, like, changed my whole – I was like, you know, I might like this football thing a little bit more, especially
– And they call you for fouls when you hit people in basketball, which is total bullshit.
In basketball, you know, you start to lift weights for football, so you're just – too strong for the game, and like you're just very aggressive, and they're ticky tack calls. You know how Iowa basketball is, everything, a little hand check's a foul. So I'm just like, okay, this is really like starting to piss me off. Like,
that was a big detriment to me as well. My coach
Reggie, you remember me on the Knicks?
Yep. Yeah, because so the other connection was you used to play on the Knicks against my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he played on the Defenders.
My coach always used to tell me, if you don't use all your fouls, you're being selfish to the team.
You were that guy.
I also got told the same thing.
Yeah, we all were the same guy.
To get all my fouls.
We're supposed to be aggressive. Like, we're diving on the ground. We're fighting for the loose balls. Like, if you're not using your fouls, you're being selfish. So that was my mentality. And, of course, playing football, you get even more aggressive. So I'm like, I'm pretty much just – wrestling in the middle of a basketball game because I'm like, I'm trying to win. It's whatever. I'm not even thinking about it. But a lot of these kids don't play football or don't lift like that, so they're getting tossed around. And I'm thinking I barely touched them. You watch the film, just a side check straight to them. It was just like that. It didn't feel that hard to me.
You started to figure out that football was maybe more naturally for you.
Oh, yeah, because I've always just been – my brother's been he's always like the skinnier.
He was a skinny guy, yeah.
Slim guy, and I was always kind of built. So I'm like, yeah, maybe I need to switch it up just a little bit.
What
did you play at Western?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna get that. That was my next question, Drake. Was
because I've got a lot of buddies that went to Western, and I've heard about the Western experience, and I'm interested to hear it from your side because I've heard some guys say that it wasn't that bad, but I've heard some guys say that it was a living hell. So I'm just curious.
Man, in my experience, it was number two. It was hell. It was hell on earth for sure. Because, I mean, it's community college, so some of these people are like 40, 50 years old that you're going to class with because like finished their degree. Like part-time, they got like four kids and they got a job and everything, and then half these people like barely graduated from high school, and then the other half are just like there because either money situations or they didn't get accepted into the colleges they wanted. So it's honestly,
and now Dom just said that there was three halves to that equation, which equates to Iowa Western education
literally.
Well, how did you – so
– as crazy as that sounds, that is literally that, 150.
There's three halves. It's 150%.
It's 150% just goofy.
And the football experience was total shit from what I understand.
Oh, like first day, 16 110s.
Oh, my God.
Next day, 40 people aren't there. Just quit. They're like, yeah, this isn't it.
Wow.
After the, like, that was literally the first day. That's what we did.
So they had no idea what was, like, even good for strength conditioning. They were just trying to weed people out.
Pretty much.
Wow. Like
there were times where we used to have winter conditioning, right?
Yeah.
At like 4:30 in the morning.
Jesus. This was 2016, the 2016 season, right?
This was 2015-16 season.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you May 2015.
Yeah, yeah. So in high school, your senior year at Valley, you had like 900 yards, 12 touchdowns. I mean, you set a couple school records. Did you feel overlooked going into college? I mean, you kind of balled out. You were elite all state. What did your recruiting look like, and why was Western the path and not somewhere else to begin with?
We're from Iowa.
Right.
Just a tad overlooked, regardless of where we come from or whatever we did. But, I mean, yeah, I definitely did. And my recruiting was very limited.
Did people see you as a receiver? Because this is another story, kind of a part of who you are, is, you know, we talk about you being built, but, I mean, you can play, bro. Like, obviously, I feel like maybe some people didn't see you as a receiver. I feel like Iowa didn't see you as a receiver, like, didn't want to give you that chance, and we'll talk about that. But like, you got the skills. I mean, I found an article about Devontae Adams talking about how you got hands, how you're sneaky fast. Like, I mean, and you put on a little weight because now you're a big boy running the.
Yeah, bro, I was about to say, you're part tight end, a little part receiver, part, like,
fullback.
Well, I was definitely going to say part fullback, and I was going to ask him what it was like to run seal blocks against some of the best athletes in the entire world, because I see you out there, and I'm like, oh, my God, they turned my guy into a fullback, and I'm just stupid hyped.
Man, putting my hand in the dirt is weird. It is the weirdest thing. I'm behind the quarterback with my hand in the dirt. I'm like, what the hell am I doing back here? And I'm just like, honestly, the first time I ever did it, I was at the Colts, and it was literally the first day I was there. They were just like, yeah, we're running pretty much whatever you guys ran. It was like 22B or whatever. Like, that's pretty much what it was. So I was pretty much supposed to go to the middle linebacker and just hit him as hard as I can. Which I immediately after I did it, I'm just like, Drake and Brady are two crazy ass motherfuckers to want to just do for fun. Just
dude, for you it was either Anthony Walker or Darius Leonard that you had to hit. So that's a pretty big job.
First day, just hey, see big ass 44 right there. Yeah, I'm gonna need you to run full speed and just kick him out. I'm like, all right, yep, that's. Fuck it, whatever.
They were just throwing you to the dogs, bro.
So, I mean, that, just doing that, that was crazy. Obviously, immediately started thinking of you guys. I'm just like, yeah, these two are some crazy-ass motherfuckers that want to just sit back here and do this for, what, practices used to be 2.5 hours during camp, hot as hell. Just, yeah, coach, I got you. And I'm just like, bruh, this is tough. I'm going to have to get used to this because it's kind of weird. But, no, it's... I mean, that was my mentality, just be like, hey, whatever you need me to do, that's what it is.
For sure. But unlike me and Brady, you actually get to play slot tight end in the red zone. So, like, we never got that opportunity to run the cross post, basically. Brian didn't let us do that.
I mean, I don't know why. You guys had some sneaky athleticism.
There's no way they're letting Brady Ross run across the middle, bro.
It would have been a touchdown.
They're not covering him. They're like, okay, that's a decoy. Oh, what do you know, Nate Stanley? Dump down Brady Ross. Touchdown.
How lit would that have been, though? Kinnick would have been live.
It would have been live. Okay, well, that's stupid. Would have thrown it to him, but.
How did the transition work from Western to Iowa City? Who contacted you? How did that become a thing? How did you get to become a Hawkeye for 2 years?
Coach Morgan, right?
Yeah, probably.
Line.
Yep.
He would go to Western a lot because he was looking at
Probably looking at ease. Were you at – when was Easley at
He was there with me. They were looking at him the next year.
Oh, okay.
They weren't looking at him yet. They were looking at some of the D linemen because Iowa Western always has, like, really good D-ends. So that's – I think he was there for that. But then, yeah, I just started talking to him, and then, like you were saying, the Iowa Western experience was not for me. So he offered me a walk-on, and I was like, yeah, I'm taking it. I'm getting the hell out of Council Bluffs, Council Tucky.
Council Tucky.
Not where you want to be for very long.
So you transitioned into Iowa, and you're a receiver now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you wanted to be? That's where coming into the black and gold, what was the mindset? Like, where did you see yourself? I mean, I have to imagine, like, everyone kind of sees themselves finding their way onto the playing field, being the guy, you know? Talk about your experience with, you know, in the black and gold. It was 2 years?
3 years, but
3 years.
The first year that I got out there.
Okay.
So I played the last two. But, I mean, yeah, definitely wanted to be a receiver. Would been obviously that for all of high school. So I was hoping, talking to old BK about
– Damn, he was – yeah.
BK, and that just made me die because I'm like – really hearing him talk about the Leno story was absolutely hilarious because that is – That was my first year, so I was introduced to him just throwing shade at Bish almost every day. I'm just like, why does he hate Bish so much? I don't understand. Someone inform me why he does not like Bish. But that
the BK impersonation was always like a
spot on. High pitch, just
Dumpy, get to the corner.
Like, what? But no, I literally went there hoping to be a receiver. Obviously, knew special teams was going to be a way that I could, like, ease my way in to whatever. And then I'm pretty sure we had a personnel switch after that season.
Yep, we did.
So that kind of changed everything. And I was excited about kind of the new coach because, it's like, I mean, it's new coach, so there's
new opportunities.
A new opportunity. Nobody really knows you. You get a chance to make a name for yourself with the new coaches coming in, so I was excited about that. I thought I had a really good spring ball and then a really good camp, and obviously, unfortunately, nothing came on the offensive side, but definitely played a lot of special teams, which I thought personally was great to just get my feet wet a little bit. I had 3 years left on my eligibility, so I was like, if this is what I have to do for my first season, just playing 3-4 special teams, like, I'm fine with that. Like, just getting D1 football, the Big Ten level of football, just kind of getting acclimated with that. So I was fine with that. And then, you know, other things happened. So I had to say peace to the black and gold for a little bit.
What was your biggest takeaway from Iowa in being in that program and being at the D1 level, that Big Ten level? And what did you take with you over to – you ended up at Indiana State for the 2019 season, what was your biggest learning experience there in the Big Ten?
Definitely, I took it from Iowa, the professionalism that they were kind of molding us all to be, like the study habits, the eating, watching your weight, that stuff that is pretty important in the NFL level. I definitely took that, as well as just like the intensity. And, like, just the way you have to play the game, where it's just, like, you have to play it at a certain level in order to be even somewhat decent in Big Ten football. Because most of the time, Big Ten football is, like, one of the best conferences. So, like, I definitely took that and just, I don't know, just the aggression. And just that special teams matters. Just you kind of have to be, like, you kind of just take that dog and just take it over to Indiana State and just kind of show them, like, kind of take them with me.
Yep.
Obviously, before I got there, they weren't very good that first year. And then Ryan came, and then obviously he took them to another level. And then I was hoping to take it to another level with Ryan because they have great players. Then Ryan was that quarterback, and I was like, hopefully I could just make them a better team.
When you walked into – when you arrive at Indiana State, What was the reception like there? And was that an easier or tough transition? And, you know, your stats there, it was kind of weird. You ended up playing Wildcat and like being the feature guy of the offense, and scoring like hella, dude, bro. I'm seeing highlights come out. I remember, like, out of nowhere, there's the guy Dom Daphne just running all over teams. And I'm like, what the I knew this could happen, bro. Like, I saw it in practice a ton of times at Iowa because I got to watch a lot. And now he's out there. Like, you look like Johnny Manziel on kids. Like, you're just making them look like little third graders out there. How fun was that to finally – it probably felt like high school again, right?
When I got to run the ball, yeah, because – I mean, when I grew up, I played running back anyway. So it's just like riding a bike. Like, you get back on there, and you just – it's easy. So I was back there just following my blockers, doing whatever they wanted me to do. But sometimes it was just me doing what I had to do because, obviously, like you said, like, I knew I was capable of doing that. I just needed an opportunity to do it. So when they were finally like, yeah, we're putting Wildcat with you, I'm like – I mean, it only took you 8 games, but yeah, sure. Here we go. Let's get after it.
What was the reason for that? Was that because Ryan got hurt? And
not only Ryan, our number 2 quarterback, got hurt as well.
Oh my god! And was that in the middle of the season? So they're like, "Fuck it, we're just moving to the Wildcat."
Yeah, that was like game 5 or 6.
And then they tried.
You hate for the bro to get hurt, but that's a dream come true, dude.
Yeah, it was – no, it definitely sucked to see him get hurt like that again. But, I mean, definitely good stuff came out of it because, yeah, I got to do Wildcat and whatnot. And, obviously, with crazy last game, that was surprising to me. Like, I remember I was riding back on the bus watching the notifications and all that just pop up, and I'm just like – And I remember because someone compared my spin move to the one Lamar Jackson had against the Bengals. And I was just like, I really did just score 5 touchdowns in a game. Like, that's kind of stupid. Like,
you went for 5 and 250, right? Like, something nuts.
That just happened. I'm like, there's no way I really just did that. Like, that's kind of stupid. Like, just
that's a disgusting stat line, though.
I'm like, what? It like just hit me as soon as we were riding back on the bus. I'm just like, there's no way I just did that. It just looked easy. Like you said, literally on the film, it just looked easy.
It did.
Like, that just happened.
And so then did you graduate after that year?
No, I graduated from Iowa before I left.
Okay, so you graduated before you left. Yeah. So you're just taking like an extra major, like grad classes in Indiana State.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you play 1 year there, and was that your last year of eligibility?
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Yep, so then we go into – that was 2019 season – and then we roll into 2020, start of last year, and you've already made stop, you know, Valley High School, Iowa Western, Iowa, Indiana State. I mean, you're just like one after the other making these stops. Like, I think more than anything people can take from this is you just stepped up to the plate at every single opportunity and just kept, I mean, like, all right, it's not working out here. We're going to do what we can here. Next stop, next stop. And now you're training for – you find yourself basically training to try and make the NFL in the middle of COVID-19. Like, what was that like? Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or, if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, question and answers with Blue Wire's top podcasters, could be us, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and every other platform. And the best part, you get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance to this program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
That felt like high school again, because back in high school, we used to have to hop the fence for Valley Stadium to even try to get any type of work in. So that's what we were back to doing now, because everything was closed, everything, they were kicking people off fields, and we're like, yeah, whatever. We're climbing the gates like we don't care. Like, we have to get work in, and people are like, why are you going out? You know, you're risking yourself and your family. But I'm like, okay, but my job that I want to do, literally, I have to get out and I have to be on the field. So I'm like hopping fences, and the police are coming and kicking us off. And I'm like, yeah, this literally feels like high school all over again, because that's what we had to do every summer. But I mean, it was tough, because every place was closed, like, gym-wise, so it was hard to even get a lift in. I had to somewhat do a fake lift in my basement sometimes, and, like, just trying to find places to lift, as well as just trying to find motivation to just keep going, as, you know, I mean, there was really no end in sight there for a while.
Yeah.
The whole
makes for such an even more badass story, because, like, you had cops kicking you out of your workouts where you're just like, hey, fuck the law. I got a dream, and we're going to go get it.
We have to get out here and get some work in. So, like, you're just going to come here tomorrow, and you're going to see us again, and you're going to have to kick us off again, because I'm not going to just not work out. I'm not just going to sit in the house. And yep. Do, like, I can't. Like, that's not an option.
I have a question, Dom, and I don't want you – this is no disrespect. I know the answer more than likely because of that athlete background. You're overlooked, right? We talked about it. Go to Western, go to Iowa. Iowa doesn't really work out like you would probably like it to. Go to Indiana State, which is, you know, it's not like there's just a bunch of NFL athletes coming out of Indiana State every year. And you have some really great success, but not like a full season worth. In your mind, I guess a lot of guys in your position would just be like, damn, I made it through college. I finally got to play a little bit. Like, time to go to the real world. What gave you the confidence to make the NFL a reality and, like, chase that dream? Because a lot of guys would hang it up and just go get a job.
Me personally, I had done the 9-to-5, and it wasn't for me. And I knew that, as well as just the love for the game, you know? Like, that's one thing I gained. Like, when I left Iowa, like, the the love I had for the game was, like, depleting. Just because, like, it just wasn't going the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much just – I hated life sometimes. I would sit in the locker room, and me and Torin Young would literally sit back there for hours just talking, because we're both just, like, not in the position we wanted to be when we first got here. And it was just – obviously, it sucked. So the love of the game was, like, depleting. I got back to Indiana State, kind of gained back that love of the game. Because, I mean, we were just – I mean, it was my fifth year. So I'm like, I'm just going to come out here, have fun, do what I got to do. So then that – the love for the game definitely came back. And then there were NFL scouts that would, like, come to practice every once in a while and, like, want to talk to some of us who were some of us seniors and whatnot. And – I don't know, just the love for the game, the dream of literally wanting to play in the NFL since I was little, like, that kind of just kept me motivated, as well as just my circle, I would say, my circle of people, my family, my coaches at Indiana State were like, dude, like, you got what it takes. Just make sure your head is on straight. Make sure you keep working when you go back home. And, like, that was just the whole thing. And it, honestly, I just wanted it so bad. And I, for a while there, just didn't see myself doing anything else.
There was just no other option.
There was nothing else. I wasn't going to do anything else that was any type of job or kind of whatever. Like, I'm all in right now. So there was no option, other option for me.
Damn, I love that. So then we pick up where most of Iowa fans and really, you know, people around the country now get to see the beginning of your story where, you know, we always obviously talk about the real beginning all the way back. You catch a touchdown from Aaron Rodgers, and now they're like, who is this Dom? Who's Dom Daphne? Wait, he played for Iowa? I don't remember him at Iowa, like all this stuff. And everybody interviews you after that week. It's like, who's Dom Daphne? Where did he come from? The undrafted story. And over this past summer, while you were, because you didn't get drafted, you didn't even sign after the draft as a free agent. So you end up back in Des Moines, I believe. I didn't read the stories, but everybody kind of pinpointed the fact that you were like bouncing at a bar in Des Moines over the summer while you were still staying in shape. Talk about that a little bit, and then and lead us into when you finally got a call from the Colts.
I mean, yeah, I was obviously waking up every day, still doing the workout, whatnot, eating right. But then, like, after I worked out, like, it's 5 o'clock. Like, what am I supposed to do for
right.
6 hours until I go to bed? I'm like, life just got so just monotonous and boring, and I'm just like, bruh, and I remember I went out, and I went to the bar 300 that I hadn't been to really at all, and my friend was working, and he was like, and I asked him, I'm like, bro, like, what do you do? Because he was just chilling. Like, it looked like he was out pretty much.
Right.
Like, he was chilling, just talking to people. Like, he'd clean up a glass or two every, like, 30 minutes. But, like, other than that, he was just walking around chilling. I'm like, what exactly is your job? He's like, well, we're technically security, but, I just walk around, clean up some glasses, push chairs in, and just chill. I'm like, bro, like, I kind of want to do that. That sounds so easy. And they were getting paid decently well, just like, he's like, yeah, dude, just talk to the owner. I guarantee you, just meet with him for like 10 minutes. I guarantee you, he'll give you a job. I'm like, all right, bet. So I literally just did that just to, like, get out of that cycle. Just wake up, work out, eat, go lift, and then come home and just have, like, 6 hours of nothing to do. Like, I'm like, shoot, might as well do this. Easy job. Only had to work on, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, like, Sundays, like, those days.
Right.
And, like, it was just something to get me out of that whole cycle, as well as just put a little money in my pockets while I'm sitting.
I tried to be a bouncer in college, but nobody would hire me.
I'm surprised that Summit didn't want to hire you.
Bro, I tried.
Did you really, Drake?
Yes. I was bored. I wanted a summer job. I wanted to be a bouncer, but they wouldn't hire me for just the summer.
What? Oh, okay. Dom, you talk about – you mentioned eating right, and you know that's part of staying ready. Especially for a guy who, you were, like you said, you were always built. But, bro, in the clip, when you score that touchdown and you, like, flex and, like, scream, bro, you are Hulk in that video. You're thick boy season now. Like, how much weight did you put on? What did the body transformation look like? And as you were getting prepared for the NFL, did you know that your chance, your opportunity was going to be a little bit greater if you put on weight and you were able to play? Was that the plan, to kind of mesh into a tight end, H-back, F-back kind of thing, like a hybrid?
Yeah, that was the plan that's what I was telling the guy I was training with, as well as, like, that was a lot of feedback I was getting from teams. Because obviously, you know, unfortunately I don't run the 4.2, 4.3,
right.
4.4s, which I'm like, okay, that's fine. And they're like, yeah, like, you're still athletic, you can still run, but, like, you're big. So, like, you could be, like, a tight end H-back, which is kind of coming back into people's offensive schemes. So they're like, dude, you're perfect for that. Like, you could do a little bit of everything. and you block really well, you run good routes, you do all this stuff. Like, that is literally, like, what your body type and what you do, like, that's perfect for you. So that was kind of the conversations I was having with trainers and scouts. And then, I mean, I weigh, like, 248 right now, which I've never weighed that much in my life.
Big boy.
And, man, when I, first of all, I was 220 at Iowa, right?
Yeah.
It was so hard to stay at 220.
Right, and now you're 30 pounds more.
Goodness, when I tell you how hard it was, like I don't think other people understand.
They don't.
The what you have to go through to make weight.
So we've all done it. We've all done it.
And not to for an hour, maybe pop a laxative the night before. You know, just whatever you got to do just to make weight. And I'm like, I remember I came back to Iowa City. I was 7 pounds over. And I was like, bro, there's no way I'm going to have enough time to sit in the hot tub to lose 7 pounds. So I was like, popped a laxative, literally came back to the facility the next day, was perfect. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to keep that in the back pocket in case I need it another day. Because
the stories of – because there's guys on the other side, too, that you see, like, I mean, they're in the – you walk by them, they're in the locker room, and they've got just, like, six Gatorade bottles.
Over there, just waterlogged like a bitch. Just, you can tell they're just about to throw up because they've had 8 Gatorades, you know, a couple waters. They've dove in the hot tub to just to get themselves wet. And they may sneak a 5-pound plate in their – like, just all just to even be 2 pounds under what they're supposed to be.
And then on the other side of it, there's the guys who, like, come 2 hours early and they straight up just sweat it out in the hot tub. I've been there.
Get you a bottle, just spit in the bottle for
spitting,
a while.
You're, like, you're doing, like, high knees in the hot tub, trying to do jumping jacks to sweat it out. Bro, legendary stories.
3 times for no reason just to see if anything. It was
unbelievable. So you were 220, you had trouble staying there, and then finally, like, you got to, like, live a little bit. What is nutrition? What did that weight gain look like? How did you put that weight on? What were you eating? What was the daily routine like? And how do you approach nutrition now as part of being a professional athlete?
When I – that semester when I was just a student at Iowa, I was eating, like – I'd lift and I'd eat, like, 1 or 2 chicken breasts and some rice. Like, I was finally able to just eat. I didn't have to care about, oh, I can only have this much of whatever.
Right.
Like, I have to wait to eat or whatever. I could eat whatever I wanted. So that was that kind of transition. And I got to Indiana State and I was like 230, 235, which everyone, as soon as I got there, first of all, they thought I was a linebacker, which I appreciate. You know,
you could have played linebacker, bro.
That's fine. Like, I appreciate the compliment. They're like 235 receiver. That's not heard of. But then, of course, I go to the first 7-on-7, and they're like, bro, you move, like, really well. Like, we were not expecting that at all. Like, you came in, you're 230.
Ooh, you're, like, bro, you're sneaky. I'm
like, I don't know what to tell you. I played receiver. Like,
you're sneaky fast, bro.
So, like, I'm like, okay, whatever. But obviously there was more – still, like, a lot of the pastas and chicken because I was living in my own apartment, so I had to cook for myself. Didn't have a meal plan, so it was just a lot of the chicken breasts, pastas, stuff like that. And when I was training, I would do oatmeal in the morning. I did, like, a chicken salad for lunch. And then maybe, like, some salmon for dinner. Salmon and something, like, just put something with that for dinner and maybe some yogurt as a snack. But, like, that was that. And then now I kind of just would have – oh, I miss my breakfast burrito that I have every day when I get to the facility. It has hash browns, cheese, 2 types of cheeses, ham, bacon, and chicken.
Oh,
oh my gosh. That thing is so delicious, and I haven't
had – dude, you have no idea how much I miss training table.
Oh.
Having to go find yourself a meal every time you're hungry and not just going to the same place to pick it up catered, it is horrible.
Stuff. But, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at now. Just I'm more worried about hydration now more than anything just because we get so much volume in and running, like you're sweating so much.
Yeah.
Like just it's a lot of taking very hydration very seriously. Now drinking all the Pedialytes I can and whatnot, and for like nutrition, I just eat. I just make sure I'm eating because obviously we're doing a lot. So I just got to make sure like I'm eating 3 meals a day, or else like I'll come in, I'll be like 242, which I'm like, okay, that's how I know I need to make sure that I'm getting all my meals in. So it's just making sure, because obviously they have healthy stuff at the facility, like it's all salmons and chickens and lobsters and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's healthy. You just got to make sure you're eating.
Right. You got picked up by the Colts. And what was it like to finally get that call, even though it, you know, nothing's guaranteed? I'm pretty sure you can fill me in. They bring you in for camp and then cut you a few weeks later. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah. When I finally got the call, like I literally was at the field and I just let out the biggest scream. Because I'm like, bruh. Like it took so long. Literally nights, just restless nights, just at home. Like, is this even worth it anymore? So finally got the call. That was great. And the mentality was just to go out there and just not come home. Like, as soon as I get out there, like, I'm not coming back. So just to get out there and finally do that. And then, yeah, I was there for, like, the last 2 weeks, like, 2.5 weeks, something like that. And I was very close to making the practice squad. They just signed some tight end off waivers from Philly or something. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. I mean, as a guy who has some years under his belt versus a guy who, I'm a rookie, there wasn't much about me anyway. So I was like, it's respectable. So I was like, okay. But then with that, I took from just being there, and I'm like, now I've seen what the NFL life is like. Like, there's no going back for me. So I'm like, this is what I'll be doing. Like, that was how I felt when I came back. Like, I got a little bit of the taste. Like, now I want, like, the whole thing. So I was just even more motivated when I came back home.
That happened for a couple months, and then the pack come calling, right? And I'm sure that was another day of, like, fuck, yeah, another chance, finally. And it says you got signed to the practice squad on October 12th, and your time with Green Bay begins. And what was that like? You actually catch a little bit. What's that day-to-day like, just fighting, knowing that nothing's guaranteed, but you actually make the practice squad. So now it seems a little bit more sure. Camp, now you're practice squad. Then eventually, early December, you get called up for the game day roster. Talk about all of that experience. What's it like in Green Bay?
Yeah. Well, shoot, practice squad. You know, I'd be good at practice squad for 3 years in Iowa. I was on scout team. So I'm like, this is bread and butter. This is easy.
And now they're finally paying you to read the cards.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all I got to do is read a card. That's all I have to. That's easy. I can do that all day. So I'm like, you really, really just get to go there and, like, work on your skills. Like, obviously, being a tight end was weird. So I was taking every opportunity to rep those skills and learn how to block in line and all that stuff. So, I mean, just it was like every day just try to get better and try to showcase, like, what I could do. And obviously more and more every week they would give me more responsibility on on scout teams and stuff, right? So they give me more responsibility and, like, they started to trust me more. Coaches started to talk to me more and whatnot. And, like, yeah, this guy can actually, like, he's actually a good player. Just showing, like, that I could run routes and catch the ball and run the ball, because I'm like, I did all of it in college. So whatever you want me to do, like, I'm going to be able to do it. So that was kind of my take from that, is just come in, you know, get right, work on your tight end skills, as well as just show them that there's more to you than that. You know, there's more that I could do. Like, I'm out here running the ball, I'm in the backfield blocking, I'm pass blocking, whatever. Just show them, like, everything that you're capable of. And then, yeah, unfortunately, dudes got injured. Obviously, you never want to see that happen. It was just freak stuff, just one after the next. And it was just, like, dudes literally just falling back to back. And it was just, like, it was – honestly, it was scary for us, because it was, like, was like, okay, what is going on? Like, there was like two dudes in like 20 minutes that got hurt, and we're just like, and everyone's just like, bro, like, what is going? Like, people were like falling, and like, you don't normally like touch the ground at practice. Dudes were slipping everywhere, and we were just like, it was a weird day. And then like, obviously, you got called up, and that was crazy to even think that, yeah, I'm about to be playing in an NFL game. Like, it took this whole time, and we took this weird path to finally get to who we play. We played Philly, and I'm like, I'm actually going to be playing in an NFL game. I'm like, that was nuts. And then obviously the next week they – it was funny because the next week they told me, oh, you're going to be coming up. And I thought it was like the regular game day come up. I thought it was just like I was still going to be on practice squad, and I was like, okay. And we went to go sign the contract, and he was like, I don't think you understand what I'm telling you. Like, we're signing you to the team. Like, you're not – it's not just a elevation for the game. Like, we're signing you to the 53. I'm like, yeah, I didn't realize that that's what we were doing. He was like, yeah, you were so calm when I told you. So I thought maybe you were, like, trying to play it cool or whatever. And I'm like, no, I thought it was just a regular practice squad guy come up for the game. He's like, no, we're signing you to the 53. Like, you're going to be, like, on the active for the rest of the season. I'm just like, bro, can you say that one more time? Like, I just one more time, because I'm like, that's just hearing you say that was crazy. And I'm just like, I just need you to say it just so I could just enjoy that for a second, because I'm like, there's no way that you're telling me that I came all this way for the weirdest route anyone could have took, and you're telling me that you're signing me to the active. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, all right. And then what's even crazier is we get up there, I'm going to sign the contract, and I read it, and it says 2 years. And I'm like, whoa, what are you talking about? And I'm like, so he gets done reading it. I'm like, can you explain it? Like, why does it say 2 years? And he was like, yeah, we're signing you for the rest of this season as well as next season. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, time out, hold on. What? I literally just thought I was only coming up for the game. Now you're telling me you're signing me to 53, and now you're going to tell me that I'm coming back next year? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not even going to lie, I almost cried right at the spot, because I'm just like,
that's a long-term J-O-B.
What? I'm just, yeah. I remember I called my dad. He started crying. I'm just like, bro, this is nuts. The fact that that just went the way it did, I'm just like, that was crazy.
When you got the pen in your hand, you a little shaky? Because that, I mean, just you describing the story has me sitting here like, holy shit. I feel like I'm there.
It was so wild. Like, I was reading it like if my life depended on it, reading that.
Felt like a movie?
Just like, absolutely. Like, you're upstairs in the offices, so, like, everything's extremely nice and smells good, and it's just, like, everything's real, you know, business upstairs. So you're just like, you take that long walk to the office, and you're just like, bro, this is a crazy experience. And, yeah, it was literally like a movie.
And to make it just another step crazier, a few weeks later, you're fucking in the end zone with a pass from A-Raj with a touchdown. What's going through Dom's mind at this point? I mean, bro, like, it's the ultimate come up.
I mean, first of all, I was looking at the ball like, there's no way he just threw the ball to me. So I'm like, bro, that's the ball. So that's literally why I fall.
I had the same exact feeling when Nate threw me the ball for my first touchdown, bro. I saw it coming, and I was like, this is actually happening. Oh, my God.
Polecat felt similar as well.
Oh, that's tough. Sorry.
It ain't tough. I caught a pass against Ohio State, bro.
Sorry about that, you know. I was about to run on the field.
Like, I know. And, hey, not everybody can score tutties.
But I just remember the ball was coming, and I'm focusing on it with everything that I have. Like, you better not drop this. And, like, that's why I fell, because I was so hard focusing on the ball.
Yeah, because you were wide open.
wide open. But, like, I didn't know that. All I saw was the ball coming. I'm just like, oh, my goodness, the ball's coming. And I just caught it and fell. And I looked to the side, and I'm just like, bro, did I just score a touchdown? And everyone's just running to me. I'm just like – and then, yeah, that was – it was insane. I'm like, there's no way I just scored a touchdown.
Bro,
how is it playing with my guy Bobby T?
Say it again.
He asked about Bobby T, Tanyan.
That's my guy. He's like big bro. Like, he's just a cool dude, just really laid back. I think it's so funny because our whole team is like about like a good vibe, like manifestation, like all that stuff. Like, and like it's, you wouldn't expect it, a lot of people to be like into that type of stuff, like yogas and the just like all those relaxation techniques and making sure your mental is 100%. But like a lot of the guys on our team are into that stuff. And honestly, it put me onto it a little bit because it's just like, it's so important.
Yeah.
To see what you want and then go get it. Because like, honestly, that's what I was doing all summer, was that exact thing. So just to hear them talk about it is like, it's crazy. And Tanyan is, he's a dog. He's going to be one of the best tight ends in the league. It's for the next, like, as many years as he wants to be, honestly, because he's just –
Him and George run the world, bro.
You know, him, George, and TJ are
unbelievable.
Three-headed monster.
It's wild.
Shout out to the gang, man.
The gang, straight up. So now you find yourself in this contract. You're with the Pack. Where does Dom go from here? What do the next 5 years look like, ideally, in your eyes? How do we move on from here? What's the goals? From your story, it sounds like it's just one day at a time, nose to the grindstone. What does that look like for you?
Pretty much just stay hungry. You know, just obviously, you know, you have people telling you that you scored a touchdown or whatever, you're playing, so you made it. I'm like, nah. If you know me, like that's not what I came here for. I didn't come here for one touchdown. I didn't come here for one tackle or a couple of games or a couple highlights. I'm like, nah, I came here for a lot more. So just to stay hungry, to stay just working out and stay like just asking questions, literally just trying to have like that just young kid feel where you're asking questions about everything. Like, I need to know why we're doing this. I need to know what for, why does it work, why doesn't it work. Like, just ask questions about absolutely everything and just be hungry to keep a spot, you know, because obviously NFL stands for not for long, and you could be here one day, you could be gone the next day. Like, just to make sure, like, I'm hungry for everything, because obviously nothing's going to be easy, you know. I had definitely had success towards the end of the season, but, you know, obviously it was with guys being injured. So obviously I come back and guys are getting healthy. So I just got to make sure I'm still doing what I'm supposed to be doing and more.
Yep.
So this off season is kind of like, that's what this off season about.
That's exciting.
So I maintain as well as exceed even more expectations that are being brought upon me.
Damn. Well, it's the group chat, our group chat, me, Ike, Josie, all the boys, when you scored, were like, bro, Dom just scored a tutter out of nowhere. We went nuts. And to follow you through the end of the season, like you said, and then and beyond, we wish you the best, man. It's been awesome to see the journey come to fruition, and hopefully even more fruits of your labor in the future. So we really appreciate you doing the interview, and can't wait to watch you ball in the Pack uniform some more next year.
Sir, appreciate you, man.
Let's go. Episode 193. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed Dom's story. Man, just one for inspiration. If you need a story about perseverance out there, take it from this guy. 193. We'll be back on Thursday with another episode. Thanks for listening. Peace.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.